The book of John, chapter number 20 this morning. The scripture says, on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the good word of God and for the precious truth that Jesus is alive and reigns today forevermore. And thank you, Father, for the death of our Savior upon the cross and for his burial and for his splendid and blessed resurrection. In Jesus' precious name, amen. It is today that we celebrate the greatest day in what I believe the entire history of the world. We celebrate the great truth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified on a Roman cross for our sins and was buried on the third day, rose again over death, hell, and the grave. Jesus' tomb is empty. Without Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, there's no hope. There's no salvation. We're all in our sins and we're here in vain. But praise God, Jesus is alive and forevermore will be. This morning we want to look at some things going on at the empty tomb. And first of all, we note one named Mary Magdalene. We see her in verse 1 and we note her distress. It does say, on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. So we realize that here comes Mary Magdalene. Who is she? In the book of Luke, chapter 8, and verse number 1 and 2. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. We're introduced to a woman who was possessed, who was controlled by seven devils themselves. She probably was living a life that probably was maybe caused her maybe to even be insane, maybe even drew her into vile, corrupt sin. No doubt that some folks have said that maybe this woman had been a prostitute, and it's been suggested, but there's no biblical evidence to prove that. But certainly being possessed by seven demons, it would have led her to do some awful, awful things. Can you imagine in her lost state, being controlled by all these demons within her, she has no hope of salvation whatsoever. She's really, as a sinner, cut off from the temple, and being demon-possessed and probably even insane mentally, she might even be cut off from help in a decent society. They would have even turned their back on her. The only thing Mary Magdalene had to look forward to was a life of sin, and she was facing an eternal hell. That's where she's on her way to. And being controlled by these demons, this woman is totally powerless to change her life. There's nothing she can do about her situation, it does not seem. But evidently Jesus has come into her life and has cast those old demons out and has saved her and changed her life forever and ever. And as soon as Jesus touched her and He came and helped her, those demons had to flee, and now she's at peace. Praise God for the peace that only Jesus Christ can give us. Mary Magdalene, she loved the Lord, as many others did. I'm sure the blind man and the leper and so on and so forth loved the Lord. When we come down to the book of Matthew, at the foot of Jesus' cross was Jesus' mother and Jesus' disciple, John. But also with them were some women, one of which was Mary Magdalene. In fact, the Bible will also teach us that when Joseph of Arimathea begged for the body of Jesus after Jesus had died, he took that body down and wrapped it, he and Nicodemus, and put the linens around the body and anointed it with spices and laid it in a new tomb where nobody had ever laid. In fact, it was Joseph of Arimathea's own tomb. And he put Jesus inside that tomb. And just outside the sepulcher was a lady that watched every bit of this named Mary Magdalene. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we must realize that in John chapter 20, back to our story, we see the distress of her heart being lost and being filled with these demons. But we see how the Lord came and changed her. But here she is, the one she loved, and the one that changed her life, the one who had promised that He would give life to everyone that believes in Him, He Himself is dead. And she doesn't understand it. And His disciples don't understand it either. And in fact, all the angels are even trying to look into what's going on in this situation. And she sits outside the sepulcher, and her heart is breaking. She gets up early that week, and she comes, but other women are coming with her. And the Bible says that they're coming when it's yet dark down to the sepulcher. And I'm sure as they come that their heart's breaking. You've got to understand that when Jesus died and was buried, that's the time the Jews celebrated the Passover. You know, the Passover was the celebration of when Israel was brought out of Egypt. And they sacrificed the lamb. And remember, they put blood up on the doorpost and they're to eat of this lamb. And I'm certain that during this time, Mary no doubt celebrated the Passover. No doubt her heart was looking back to what God had done and looking forward to a promise that a Messiah would come and would deliver them from the bondage of sin. Yet inside her heart of hearts, the one she knew that changed her life is dead. And it does look like all hope is lost. And she comes from celebrating that Passover, jumps up early in the morning. They come through the streets there and head out to where the little old garden tomb is. And in her mind, she knew there was a Roman guard outside it. She saw that. There's a great stone rolled in front of the tomb that's been sealed. She saw that. She's got to be thinking, how in the world are we going to roll away a stone? How can we come and anoint the body of Jesus further? What can we do? And she's got much conflict and much distress in her own mind and in her own heart about the happenings and the goings-on of this situation. But as she gets there, the Bible says, she sees the stone taken away from the sepulcher. She sees it. She maybe even peers in just a little and notices on the right side of the tomb where the body was laid, there's no body. She jumps up, the Bible says, being probably in distress, not understanding what's happened, and she runs, the Bible says, to Peter and to that other disciple which Jesus loved, which was John, and she says to those fellows, she said, they've taken the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we, meaning there was others with her,
know not where they have laid him. In other words, somebody has stolen the body of Jesus. The stone is rolled away. And the disciples, hearing that news, automatically know it's not us. We didn't steal the body. What's happening? And they ran to the tomb. And Peter, the Bible says, he went on in the tomb and John stayed outside. Sure enough, the body's gone. And both disciples leave, scratching their head, thinking, what in the world has happened? And in fact, in verse 11, Mary, she's come back to the tomb now, and she stood outside the sepulcher. The Bible says she was weeping. She does not understand what's going on. Great fear is gripping her heart. You might say that this young lady is in much distress in this hour. Weeping and weeping and weeping. But then she makes, number two, a discovery. As she's standing there weeping, the Bible says that she stooped down and she looked into the sepulcher. Now she must have looked before because she told Peter and John the body was gone. Right? Now she's come back and she looks again. Almost you do that. You look at things and say, that can't be, and you look again. She's come back for a second look. And she makes a discovery. She looks and she sees, the Bible says, two angels in white sitting. The one at the head and the one at the feet where Jesus' body had lain. In other words, it's not there. There's a linen cloth and a napkin folded. But there sits two angels, one at the head and one at the feet. Now, two is always the number of witness. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall everything be established. And if you could see one angel sitting on this side and one angel sitting on that side, you almost might think of the mercy seat. Remember, there was a mercy seat that had a lid on top of it, and they put two cherubims, two angelic-looking features at the end, and what they would do is they would sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat. God said, I'll meet you at the mercy seat. Woo! Guess what? There's a mercy seat right there in the book of John, chapter number 20. Except Jesus' body's got up. You and I have fellowship with God through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a mercy seat, we might say. And these angels are sitting. Now, this morning you're sitting. You might say as you're sitting, your body can rest. It doesn't have to stand the distress of standing or running. You're at rest this morning. You're just relaxed. Those angels are just sitting there. Now, if the body of Jesus was missing, if it had been stolen, them angels would have been busy.
Exactly.
They'd have been flying around, doing whatever they could to set things back in order. But they're sitting there. They're at peace. They're nice and calm. You know why? Because they know up from the grave their Savior has risen. They know that. And they're sitting there all relaxed, a posture of absolute peace, glory to God. And realize here that they look at her, and she notices them, and they look at her and they say, woman, why weepest thou? They're trying to ask her the question to stir her to say, why in the world are you weeping? And she says to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've taken him. Now what they're trying to do is saying, why are you here at the empty tomb weeping when you ought to be shouting?
Right. Amen.
You ought to be celebrating. Jesus has kept His word. It's a great miracle that's happened here. You just celebrate that Passover for a deliverer to come. Here you stand in His empty tomb. You've seen it with your own eyes. Why are you weeping about it? Why aren't you shouting about it? Why are you weeping? Now, she's like a lot of us. She lives by sight and not by faith. They've taken away my Lord and I don't know where they've laid him. In other words, if I could see him, then I might shout. We do that. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. The Bible said when you got saved, you became a new creature. And no longer do you walk by sight, you walk by faith. That's how you got saved. Amen? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You express saving faith that I may not see Jesus hanging there. I didn't see them take His body and put it in a tomb. And I didn't see Him raised up on the third day. I didn't see it physically, but I see it spiritually. Faith. Mary's made a discovery. Have you made a discovery? And He's alive, glory to God. Did you discover yourself lost? Did you discover yourself not in control, not in power, but the devil running your life, amen? And somebody came and preached to you the glorious gospel that Jesus loved you enough to die for you and to take your sins to the cross that your sins might be washed away, and that He was buried on the third day, was risen up again? Praise God for that shocking discovery. I'm glad I got lost so I could get saved, amen? Hallelujah. Well, Mary, she's not living by faith. She's living by sight. She says, I don't know where they've taken my Lord. I don't know where they've laid Him. And we see her now. She's been distressed. She's made a discovery. But thirdly, we see her in great despair. When she had thus said, verse 14, and turned herself back, saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. In other words, she's so in despair and so upset there at the tomb, she just continues weeping. She doesn't even understand that Jesus is speaking to her. And Jesus, He said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? As He speaks to her, she, supposing Him to be the gardener, said unto Him, Sir, if thou hast borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away. Isn't that just like us? After we got saved, and we started living by faith and not walking by sight anymore, after we got saved, He made us a promise. He said, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. And in Mary's time of distress and despair, she's weeping and crying, there He stands. And He says, Woman, why weepest thou? You ought to be shouting.
Right.
He says, Whom seekest thou? Well, she's come seeking the Lord. But He's trying to say, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Why do you come to the grave to seek the resurrection and life? But He said, just to show you, and that I'm not going to leave you or forsake you, here I stand. And in this moment of distress and despair in her life, the Lord right there with her, she didn't recognize Him. You got situations in your life, and He's right there. And you're so distressed because of the circumstances, and so being out of shape and warped because of the situation, you don't see Jesus in it. Because you're walking by sight. And you need to be walking by faith. Jesus made us that promise, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I promise you today, friend, He's with you in your situation. We've come in here to shout and praise God because Jesus is alive. But seldom do we recognize that He's with us right now. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Why, He's with us right now in this room, in this service. He helps me to preach. He sits with you in your circumstances. As you run to an altar, He's there to welcome you. Praise God, He's here this morning. He that is alive forevermore and has the keys of death, hell, and the grave, He's here. Hallelujah. And by faith, we must know that. But Mary didn't see it like so many of us. She thought He was a gardener. She thought He was a friendly gardener. She said, Sir, tell me where you've borne Him hence. And if you'll just tell me where you've took Him, I'll go get Him and bring Him back. Listen, this crowd running around got Jesus on a crucifix, trying to put Him back on the cross. Glory to God, sister, He ain't coming back to the cross. I don't want to bring Him back to the tomb. Amen. I want to bring Him back to live in my heart and one day to receive me unto Himself, that where He is, I may be also. So where are we going to bring Him back? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to put Him back in the tomb. She was going to put Him back in the tomb. What about that? He's not coming back from the tomb, amen. So He says, Woman, why weepest thou? You ought to be rejoicing. I'm telling you what, you ought to rejoice. Somebody in this church this morning, I don't know why you've been crying. You ought to be rejoicing in it. Paul said, Rejoice in all things. And he said, Again, I say, rejoice. We need to be rejoicing. And he says, Whom you seeking? In other words, I'm a living now. But still, she's crying. And then we see Mary's delight, and I'm closing. Verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto Him, Rabboni, which is the same Master. He said one word, her name. I'm remembering that morning that the Lord first spoke to me. I tried to run away from Him, get away. I didn't understand, but I remember He come back.
And he spoke to me at the Balfour Baptist Church. And he said, "You, Darren, need to be saved." Nobody ever spoke to me like Jesus. And I'm telling you what, as soon as he spoke my name, I recognized it. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." He that spoke the worlds into existence, that took nothing and created everything that is, spoke individually to you and to me about being saved. As soon as she heard that voice, immediately she turned and said, "Rabboni." And that means master. He spoke one word. She spoke one word. Master. Glory to God for that. Well, evidently, Mary was going to fling her arms around his feet, grab a hold of him or something. And look what happens in verse 17. She was going to be thankful. She was going to worship. But what's this statement? Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not." Don't touch me. Oh, I knew there's a catch to it. Hey, Jesus will touch you and you can touch him. But here's one situation that he don't want to be touched yet. And watch what he says. "Here's why I don't want you to touch me. For I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God." What's he trying to say? He's trying to say, I've not yet ascended. I've got to take the blood. There's a place in heaven and it's crying out for judgment. The soul that sinneth, it must die. The wages of sin is death. And I've got to take the blood. Jesus' blood. Sinless blood. Holy blood. And he said, I've got to go there into heaven. According to Hebrews chapter number 9, verses 6 through 13, Jesus entered into the heavens and he took his own blood. And upon that place in heaven, in the Holy of Holies in heaven, he sprinkled his blood seven times. He said, don't touch me. I'm ascending right now, and I'm going to put the blood on the mercy seat, and your salvation has been complete.
Amen.
Can you see him there as he put the blood? Well, I bet they shouted heaven down there, didn't they?
Amen.
We can shout today too because he did put the blood on the mercy seat, and it's still there. Every time we have a need, every time we have a concern, he'll say to his Father, "Father, look over there. There's my blood which was shed for the remission of their sins. I pray, Father, when you hear their prayer, don't look in judgment, look in mercy. I'm glad when judgment called for an answer to my sin, that mercy answered because Jesus' blood's upon the mercy seat." There was another reason the Lord showed me why he ascended into heaven. He said, "Touch me not." Not just to put his blood on the mercy seat, but the book of Leviticus chapter 23. He begins to talk about these feasts, and we know there's the feast of the Passover. Mary has just celebrated the Passover. And we see in verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, that all deals with the feast of the Passover. But now, the Passover ended at 12 o'clock on Saturday night, Sunday morning. That was the end of the Passover. On Sunday morning, the first day of the week, that's when Jesus got up. That's why we celebrate on the first day, the Lord's day, first day of the week. Watch here in verse number 9. "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow." When's it supposed to be done? On the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. The Jewish Sabbath ended on Saturday night. You with me? When Jesus got up, he said, "I'm going to put the blood on the mercy seat." I can show you that in Hebrews. But he also went up there to stand before a holy God and to give him a wave offering. You know, the first fruits of the harvest. When he stands there and he waves that sheaf like this, what he said is, "Here's the first fruits, Father. And when I wave this, that means there's more to come." You'll get that in a minute.
He says, Father, I've accomplished your will. You told me to die, and I did. They put me in a tomb. Yes, they did. And on the third day, glory to God, the Spirit of God came, and I've arisen, and I presented my blood on the mercy seat. And Father, I'm telling you, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the first fruits, Father, and there's more of a harvest that's Amen. Left to come. I and you are in that harvest this morning.
Amen.
Boy, that was Mary's delight. She's excited about that, amen. He's putting the blood on the mercy seat for me, hallelujah. He's going to wave the Father and say, please accept the offering. The harvest is on their way. Glory to God.
Preacher, you ought not to get so excited. I can't help it.
That was Mary's delight. Go back with me to John 20 and I'm done. Verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Mary goes and tells the disciples that Jesus is alive. He's ascended back to the Father, putting the blood on the mercy seat. It's a message of hope. It's a message of blessing unto everyone that hears it. Unto anyone that was mourning over his death, it was an encouragement. Now, he didn't just appear to Mary only. He appeared to other women. He appeared unto Peter by himself. He appeared unto over 500 at one time. He appeared to them fellas as in the upper room up there, amen, as they was praying, locked behind the doors. He came in there and visited with them through locked doors. Well, glory to God, he appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road. He appeared to John out there on the Isle of Patmos, called him up and showed him wonderful things. Hey, glory to God, he's going to appear to us. And us that look for him and love his appearing, he's going to appear to us. And you know what we're supposed to do, like Mary Magdalene, to her delight? Jesus is alive. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I saw him, amen. Jesus is alive. I want you to know he changed my life. I was going to hell. I was possessed by devils. I saw him crucify him. I saw him bury him. I was there. I saw him, amen. As he got up from the tomb, I seen amen. Him was taking the blood and put on the mercy seat. I want to tell y'all, he's alive. Jesus, boy, if she could run through this church this morning, it'd excite some of y'all halfway to death. Jesus is alive. And she's delighted to share the message.